Us today, sermon is the sword of the spirit. Now, if you follow my recent sermons in the church, we talked about deliverance from evil, and we looked at the different elements of the armor of God. So, if you remember, we talked about the element of salvation. Do you remember that? We talked about the body armor of righteousness. We talked about the belt. Actually, that should have been the first. The belt, or I call it the girdle of what? Of truth. And we talked about what? The shield of faith. That was the last sermon. The last sermon on the website right now is the shield of faith. So today we're looking at it. One more after this will be praying always in the spirit. But today is the sword of the spirit. So can we just say that together? The sword of the spirit. Okay, so if you open your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'd like someone to read verse 17. Ephesians 6:17. I think just 17 we need. Yes, who is ready? Three versions of the Bible. Any version, I will take it. Any version you are using right now, I will manage it. Ephesians 6:17-18. Just tell us which version it is. Ephesians 6:17-18.
This is NLT.
Yes.
It says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
Amen. Can I just ask that you add 16? Yeah. So read 16 and 17 together only.
Okay. In addition to all this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. Hold up the shield of faith. Put on salvation as your helmet and what? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes, another person. Ephesians 6:17-18. Another version. Who is ready? Ephesians 16 and 17. Ephesians 6:16 and 17.
In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. So you see again, 16 is telling us that shield of faith is to be taken up or to be held up. Yeah? And then the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And it looks to me like these three like a combination. These three are the combination. I will try to show you the combination of the three. Yes, another version. Ephesians 6:16 and 17. One more version. Ephesians 6:16 and 17.
16, 17, yeah.
Yeah, 16 and 17. Ephesians 6.
Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. So, the shield of what? Of faith. What is the shield? What is the shield? What's your spiritual shield? Faith. And what's your spiritual helmet? Salvation. Yeah? And what's your spiritual sword? Sorry? Say that again. Who said that?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I like it. Say it. What's your spiritual sword?
The Spirit.
The Spirit! There's a revelation there. That was good. Amen. I mean, some old believers will disagree with you. They say it's the Word of God. But I'm also telling you that you're correct. It's the Spirit. Yeah? And I will show you the link. Because you can see there's a difference. The shield is faith. The helmet is salvation. And the sword is what? The Spirit. Hallelujah. And I'll show you why it can both be the Spirit and the Word. And why it's not the Word only. In this particular case, it's not the Word only. So what I'm trying to tell you is that this Bible is not the sword being referred to in Ephesians 6:17. It's more than just the written Word. And if you were here in the last sermon on the shield of faith, you will notice that actually when we did that sermon on the shield of faith, we were referring back to the written word of God. We went to Matthew chapter 4, the temptations of Jesus, And we saw that each time the devil fired a dart at Jesus. Yeah? What did he take up? He took up the shield of faith to block that dart. And that shield was, it is what? It is written. Hallelujah. It is what? It is written. That was not an attacking, you know, position. It was a defending position. And most of your life, you are defending against the devil. Yeah? Most of your life, you are bringing the word as a shield of faith. By the way, let me explain to you. The word of God, yeah, is a multitasker. It does many things for you. Amen? It's not just only one thing. Yeah? This word of God is, it works in many ways in your life. So it can be both a shield and a breastplate and an helmet is the word of God. Hallelujah. You know why? Open your Bible to John chapter 1. Open your Bible. Are you there, sir? Open your Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Will you come over here? No, actually, there's a balance. John chapter 1. Someone read for me. Someone who has not read today. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Yes. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Who has it? Who is ready? You've not read today. Are you here, sir? John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Who is ready? Who would like to read? Let's have two versions. New King James and New Living.
New King James.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God.
Hallelujah. Verse 2. Verse 3.
All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made.
All things were what? Made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. This angle, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, who is ready? One out of you? Yes, thank you. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Go for it.
New Living Translation.
Thank you.
In the beginning, the Word already existed.
The Word already existed in the beginning. That is not created. Instead, is the Creator. Continue.
The Word was with God. Yep. And the Word was God.
And the Word was what? Was God. Continue, please.
He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him.
Hallelujah. Are you following that? God created everything through what? The Word. And nothing was created except through Him. Now, in order to take it deeper, two reasons why I took it there. First of all, understand that the Word is multi-dimensional. It's a multitasker. Everything. The Word can become everything to you. Yeah, the Word can be your shield. The Word can be your helmet. The Word can be your breastplate. The Word can be anything you need it to be, because everything was created what? Through the Word, including the person sitting beside you. Amen. Everything was created through the Word. So the Word can produce anything. What, you know, when God says to you, Moses asked God, he said, "What is your name?" He said, "I am." That I am. Have you seen that in your Bible? Anybody? Yeah? Anybody? You know what that means? I can be whatever you need me to what? To be. Hallelujah. I'm enough. Hallelujah. I am that I am. Hallelujah. I am everything that it needs to be. Hallelujah. He's the only one who can be that. Yeah? Without the Word, nothing was created. There is nothing that exists. If you read another verse in Colossians chapter 1, it said it is the Word that holds all things together. I don't know if you get that. You know, like anybody know chemistry. Talk about the atoms, and the atoms, you know, they exist in molecules. They bond together. And correct me if I'm wrong, young people. And so there's a molecular force. Yeah? That. So for example, to have this chair now or that plastic, the atoms have to bond together. Otherwise, you can't sit on it. It will fall apart. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that it is through the Word that anything holds together. There's nothing that holds together, yeah, except by the word. For anything that has locality is by the word. Otherwise, everything will just, there'll be no locality for anything. Nothing can exist. It's the word that holds all things together. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That's the first revelation from John 1. But another revelation is to understand that when you are reading that scripture in the original Greek, that word is called what? The Logos. The Logos. Yeah? The Logos. So if you are reading it like that, if I want to read it, I say, in the beginning was the Logos. Can you say that with me? Say, in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. Hallelujah. And who was that referring to? Who is the person that represents the Logos? It's Jesus. Jesus is the living word. Amen. Your Bible is what? Is the written word. Amen. Hallelujah. Scripture. This is the technical name for this is scripture. Yeah? Open your Bible to 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm building up this message gradually. Just take time, pay attention. We are getting there, and I'll ask you questions to help you. 2 Timothy 3:16. Yes, who is ready? 2 Timothy 3:16. Someone was not ready today. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm here. 2 Timothy 3:16.
New King James Version. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen. Verse 17.
That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Hallelujah. It's the scripture that equips you. Yeah? Is a scripture that what? Equips you for everything good. But what I'm trying to show you there is that it says all scripture. Yeah? So, scripture is the written word of God. Hallelujah? That's the Logos. Amen? Jesus is the living word. Scripture is the written word. But we're talking about what? The Logos. Hallelujah? What is the written word in Greek? And what is the word of God in terms of Jesus in Greek? What's the Greek word? It's the Logos. So let me just explain that to you. The Logos is the general word or the general revelation of God to you. For example, you know that Jesus is the one who came to reveal God to us. And I was discussing with my brother Nick the other day during the service. I said, we are not serving a God that we have not seen. Amen. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Ryan, we're coming to you. 1 John chapter 1. Open there. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Yes? Are you there? Yeah? No. Let me. Thank you, sir. 1 John chapter 1. And I'll just give you a few verses. I don't want to read all of it. Okay. Now, please pay attention. And start reading from verse 1. I will stop you when I need you to stop. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1.
We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's talking about Jesus. Yeah? We have seen him. Amen? We have touched him. We have handled him. That's Apostle John talking about Jesus. Because one of his 12 disciples. Yeah? Jesus is the revelation. Is the physical revelation of God. John chapter 1 says the word became flesh. And we what? He dwelt amongst us. So the God we serve is not an abstract, non-personal God. No. He's so very personal. So if I can see God, I will believe. We have seen him. He came down. All of our human history, our current history of the world today is centered around Jesus. The year 2023 is referring to Jesus. in the year of our Lord, in the year he was born. When you say 2023, you are saying it's been 2023 years, yeah, since Jesus was born. Hallelujah. We have seen him. We have touched him. We have handled him. He has touched us too. He has touched history. He has changed history. Hallelujah. Western civilization today is an over, although it's backsliding, but it's an overflow of the Christian influence. Hallelujah. Britain today is an overflow of the Christian influence. And of course, you know how Britain itself has influenced the whole world. Yeah? So the Logos has come down. The Logos is the general revelation of God. Hallelujah. The Logos is what? That's why in your Bible, if you want to know God, you need to be familiar with your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That is the general revelation of God. That's the Logos. And then in terms of a living person, Jesus is the general. So for example, if I want to see how God looks, who do I look to? It's Jesus. Hallelujah. If I want to see how God acts, who do I look to? It's Jesus. How does God talk? I look to Jesus. Jesus is the physical, the living representation of the Father. Hallelujah. That's the Logos. Hallelujah. So now, let's now connect back the Logos and faith. Yeah? Faith. Yeah? The shield of faith. Yeah? Is based on the Logos. Hallelujah. What is written. Hallelujah. When the devil shows up. Yeah? To attack you. How do you defend? Sister, how do you defend? The shield of faith. And that shield I explained to you, it's not a shield, it's not a body armor. You don't say, you don't wear the shield of faith, and I say, I have it. It's a mobile device, that's why you hold it up. And I seem to explain the last time that when the devil is trying to attack, physically, like a physical description, he's going for your head. That's why that shield, you must hold it what? How? Because most of the attacks of the devil in your life is aimed at your mind. Hallelujah. He's going to throw those fairy darts into your thought processes. He's going to tell you that what God said is not true. He's going to tell you that there's a better alternative to what God is offering you. Yeah? He's going to tell you to take a detour, take a different way from the path that God has recommended. He's always trying to deviate you from the path of righteousness. Hallelujah. He's always trying to tell you that God is not totally true. That he has something better to offer. And what I found about the devil is that the devil is always trying to offer you. He's trying to sell you rubbish in a clean package. It's a nice package. Always. What is in the package is rubbish. But it will wrap it. You know, devil is in the business of wrapping paper. That's why I don't like wrapping paper too much. There is always a big risk of deception. You know, there's some shops here in the town that, you know, the packaging. They will package it so nicely. And sometimes you see people, you know, even young people, they're going for something because of the package. But what is inside there is something that want to ruin their destiny. That's what the devil does. And you know why he does that? Because the devil was created, was not created like the devil. The devil was created like the most beautiful being. Lucifer, most intelligent being. That's what the Bible says. It says you are the seal of wisdom. You are perfect in beauty. That's how it was created. But you see, when you keep reading, it said, but you have corrupted. That's the issue. That what the devil, the same thing that happened to him is what he's trying to do for us. Yeah, every time you kick God out and say, Lord, I'm not having it your way, I'm going to rebel. Rebellion leads to corruption. Rebellion, yeah, causes ruin. It takes something very perfect and it ruins it. That's what the devil does. And do not be deceived. Amen? So how do you resist the devil? How do you resist the devil? You take up what? How do you resist the fairy darts of the devil? What do you do? You take up the shield. You take it what? Up. Yeah? You protect your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to say something, that you cannot take up that shield. The spiritual act of taking up your shield of faith, yeah, is in your mouth. Hallelujah. You're not going to take up that shield by keeping quiet. You're going to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You're not saying, I didn't tell you to say it to a human being. Say it to Satan. Are you with me? You can say when you're on your own. You can say when you're walking down the pathway. You can say when you're in the toilet or in the bedroom. It doesn't matter. The thought will come. You're going to take that thought. You're going to compare it to the written word. Does this align with how God wants me to think? Does this align with what God says about me? Does this align with what God wants for my life? And once you can see that thing that's been suggested is not righteousness, you're going to say it is what? Written. So that already tells me that I cannot take up the shield of faith if I don't know what is written. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible makes us understand that I should spend time to meditate on the Word of God. When you meditate on the Word of God, yeah, you will know for clear, for sure, what is written. Let me ask a question. I will wake you up. Why is it that when the devil wanted to tempt Adam and Eve, why did he go to Eve and not Adam? Let's try the woman. No. We try the man. You say we are being chauvinist. Yeah? Or patriarchal. Let's try the woman. Why did the serpent go to Eve to tempt and not Adam? Because ultimately his aim, his final goal was Adam. But why didn't he go directly and face him? Man to man.
Because Adam was directly given the instruction and he knew that it was wrong to do that, and he knew that it wouldn't be in his best interest, and his mind wouldn't be changed about that.
Okay, yes, Mom? Women, you have been challenged. Why did the serpent, he wanted to tempt Adam and Eve, but it was Eve he went to, not Adam. Why? Why not go straight to Adam? Because that's the final destination. Until Adam sinned, yeah, mankind is not falling. But why go through Eve? Yes. Come on. Don't be bold. You're not on trial. There's love here. There's no fear in love. Let's try the woman first. So that they will not say they did not have a say. Why did the serpent go to Eve and not Adam? I can allow a young person or a woman. Yes, let's try.
Is it because Eve was away from Adam? Just in adding to what Ryan said.
Yeah, but why didn't he go to Adam?
Because he knew, but because he knew that Eve was not the one who received the word. So it was like a weak point.
Okay, yes, I don't want to say I like it, but that's a good answer. Why I'm not saying I like it is to protect myself from the woman. But it's a good answer. Yes, more woman. It's a good answer, actually. Yes. Yeah. So the issue is not about being away. The issue is he chose his preferred option. And his preferred option was Eve, not Adam. Why? So the question is, why did the serpent, the devil, when he wanted to tempt Adam and Eve, because by this time they were already married, they already won, he went to Eve, not Adam. Why not go straight to Adam? But his overall target was Adam. Why not go to Adam straight? Why did he have to go to Eve first? Yes.
I'm just echoing what everybody else has said, is the fact that the instruction was given to Adam. And Adam communicated that to his wife. So it's kind of like secondhand information to Eve. But the direct information was given to Adam himself.
Yes, thank you.
And the temptation was like, as God said.
Good. Kind of. Thank you. Very good answer. Very. Let me just take. Any top up? That's actually very good. I found my answer, but top up.
Is it because that Eve was created to be Adam's helper? And yeah. So he, by hearing what she has to say, thinks that she's helping him.
Okay, so again, let's listen to this. Some wisdom there, you know, like, you know, your helper is as important as yourself, and we need to, you know, pay attention to our helpers, because so that the devil does not get our helpers, because when your helper is gotten, it can affect your life. Does it make sense? Yes. Did you have another version? Okay, top up.
Since Eve didn't get it directly, she could have had like doubt, but since Adam got it directly from God, he like knew that God wasn't lying to him and that he never changed his opinion, because God directly said to him that he shouldn't do this.
Yep.
And he's obviously going to obey God because God has directly told him that. So why would he try and convince Adam when he could just go to Eve? And if Eve is convinced, then it's very likely that Adam will do what she has done.
Adam is more likely to listen to Eve than to the serpent. Did you get it? That's also, you're only as strong as your weakest point. Yes? Do you have something more to say? I didn't think so. Yeah. unless he wants to look for trouble. Did you have something else to say? Okay, let's. Why?
Yeah, I was going to say Eve is gullible.
Looking for trouble.
I didn't say women are gullible.
Looking for trouble Eve now.
Specifically.
Looking for trouble now. Looking for trouble now. You know, she was supposed to be the perfect woman, you know. Eve was supposed to be the perfect woman before the fall. Yeah, Eve was the woman before the fall, Brother Toby. Yeah. Now you have to defend yourself at home.
This is sort of unformed, but is it like, as two become one flesh, and so with that principle in mind, if there's like two dichotomous characteristics of a human in two different people, as Adam's like more of like the order and sort of doing what he's told, Eve's more the element of chaos in terms of like questioning, which is, you know, both have its part in life. You can't just blindly submit something. Obviously, it's God, but the same element, you need the testing of questioning things and potential doubt or whatever, and because of that, there was like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but because there's two like dichotomous elements involved.
I will help
like,
you break it down in a way that will be acceptable to the woman. Okay, I think the point there is that Eve is not a replica of Adam, yeah? So because, you see, when God created... are you here, sir? Are you here, young man? You look tired and a bit distracted. So Eve is not if it's a replica of Adam DNA wise, yeah, they are the same kind. They're the same DNA. No one is inferior. Like my son is not inferior to me. Yeah? Despite the fact I'm his father. Yeah, I'm his father, I'm his leader, but that doesn't mean he will not grow up and be his own father and whatever. So he's not an inferior human being to me. But there's order. Yeah? So yes, I'm his father, I'm his leader, but he's not inferior to me. We are the same kind. Does it make sense? So the woman is the same kind as the man. And there's no that emphasizes that point than the fact that the woman was taken out of the man. They are the same kind. Amen? It's not an inferior species. They are the same kind, the same species. Okay, that's certain. But, because God created them to complement each other, it means that the woman has some qualities that are complementary to the man, which means that God takes it out of the man. Yeah? And gives it. So now, that forces interdependence. Amen? Yeah? If I had everything you have, I don't need you. I can be self-sufficient. But now, you have something I don't have, but that I need. So now, I need to depend on you. Yeah, and vice versa. The man needs the woman. Not necessarily in marriage. Please understand me. Marriage is a perfect model of that. But I want to understand that it goes beyond marriage. In society. Yeah? In the church. We need the man. The male in the church need the woman. Yeah? There are things that women do better than men. You with me? If you had a word that was just only men, I don't want to be there. Hallelujah. And the reverse is true. If you have a word that was only women, I don't want to, you don't want to be there. I don't know. Amen. It's male and female. It's a perfect complementary, setting that brings out the greatest beauty. Hallelujah. There's something the woman brings to the world that the man cannot bring. Yeah? It's unique, it's special, it's beautiful, it's glorious. And there's something the man brings to the world that the world that the woman cannot bring. So we need both male and female. In the society, we need both male and female. In the family, we need both male and female. In the church. Hallelujah. Is that not beautiful? That's beautiful. Amen. I guess if it was only female, yeah, female will look, the woman will look more unkempt. Am I right? If the world was female only. And then if the world was male only, the men will look what? Much more what? I was saying to my son, hey, come here. I said, why? Who is watching me? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know that as people grow up and they become more self-aware, they take more care, you know, their looks and their body. Yeah? It's not part of the complementary nature that God has designed. It's a beautiful design. Okay? So coming back to the point then, is that, so I would like to go to the spiritual part, which is, it was Adam that God spoke to directly. Eve is hearing God's instruction indirectly. Yeah? So, there's some weakness there. So it means that actually, if I want to defend well against the devil, I need to hear God what? What? Directly. When you hear a sermon in the church, go back, pay some attention and meditate on the Bible, what the Bible has said. Like today, you're going to have some Bible reference. And let that word speak to you directly. You're in a better place when the devil shows up. Because now, you've heard God in your spirit directly. Are you with me? You can defend better against the devil with your shield of faith if the word of God has spoken in your spirit directly. Are you with me? Yeah? But the other aspect is true also. I think also, because the woman is created to be more emotional than the man, it's not a weakness in that sense. It's something beautiful. You know, the woman's skill is to nurture, you know, to nourish. And there's something, in order to have the compassion to nurture and nourish, you need more emotion. It's not a bad thing. But so the devil is playing to that. He's pandering to that. Okay, but that's secondary. The first thing is that he heard. So, you know, when you hear God directly and the devil is trying to sell you a lie, it's easier to say no. That's not what God said. But Eve is hearing from Adam. Yeah? And there is every sense where Eve may doubt that Adam heard God right. Do you get? Yeah? So let's hear God directly. Say, touch your neighbor. Tell them, say, it's important to hear God directly. And how do you achieve that? By meditating on the word. Yeah? Open that Bible. Read it over and over again. Let it speak to you. Let it what? Speak to you. So it's more difficult for the devil to confuse you. There's one of the temptations of Jesus that actually the devil quoted the Bible to Jesus. And you just have to counter that you're actually misquoting that verse. That is not the context. He said, jump from the mountain because he will give his angels. No, jump from the temple top because he will give his angels charge over you and they will keep you in all your ways and whatever. And that's the Bible. But the part he has twisted is that, okay, for example, like, if I go out now and I'm doing something evil, will the angels be protecting me? You see, the angels are only going to keep you in your ways of obedience and service. They're not going to keep you, you know, they're not going to support your vainglory. You're showing off for selfish purpose. So Jesus, when I say no, it is also written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. That is, you should not take him for granted. Yeah? And that's balance. But if you don't know your Bible well, you can't be balanced. The devil can deceive you. Okay? So that's the logos. That is the logos. So now, but the sword of the Spirit, yeah? If you read your Bible, like if you look at the Greek word there, is not the logos. He said the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. But the Greek he uses for the word of God there is not logos. It's rhema. Yeah? So the sword of the Spirit is what? Is the rhema of God, not the logos. What's the difference? Anybody tell me what's the difference between logos and rhema? Because they are, in English, they are both the word of God. Yes? What's the difference between logos and rhema? One is, both are the word of God. And I said the logos is the general word of God. Yeah? Or the general revelation of God. And that's Jesus as a person, or the scripture. The general revelation is the logos. Yeah? It's accessible to everybody. What is the rhema? In contrast. You can just deduce it from the contrast. Yes?
The written word of God.
No, I said the logos is the written word of God. Because that's the general revelation of God.
The spoken word of God.
Okay, the spoken. Yes, more?
The spirit.
The spirit, like, yeah,
like
yes.
The action, the deeds of doing. Of
yes, yes. I will take. I will develop it for you. That's still the spirit. I still like the way. Yes, I like that spirit because I'm going to link it. Yes. Okay. Anybody? Yeah. Now, open your. Do you want to say that?
Personal direct revelation.
The direct revelation of God, or let me say it this way: is the specific word of God. You see, the logos is a combination of many remas revealed in the past. Yeah, those words were spoken to specific people at specific times for a specific purpose. So it meant, so when God told Adam, of every tree of the garden you can eat, but of this specific tree you should not eat, that's a rema. It's a specific word to a specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose. Hallelujah. It is absolutely very specific. Amen? It means something for the now. Hallelujah. That's the rhema. If you act on the rhema, the devil has no answer to the rhema. Because it's so specific. Hallelujah. However, that same rhema that God spoke to Adam has become logos to us. In a general sense. We are learning from it. We can quote it and say it is written. Yeah, but God is not telling you that you should not eat one tree in the middle of your garden at the back of your house. Hello, who has a garden? Anybody has a garden? Anybody has a tree in their garden? Nobody. Nobody has a tree in their garden. Wow. Yeah, how many trees do you have in your garden? Three, yeah. But you know, you read Genesis 3 or 2 and say, okay, I'm not going to eat of that particular tree in the middle. No, that's not that was not for you. Yeah? That was for Adam. But it's still the written word of God. We are learning from it. We can quote it against the devil, but it's not specific to you. Do you get it? So it's general to you, but it was specific to Adam. Yeah? So the rhema is God speaking specific to you in your heart. Yeah? About something you need to do or not do. About somewhere you need to go or not go. Or showing you something that happened in the past to help you for the future. That is a rhema. It is still the word of God, but it is specific to you for a specific purpose at a specific time. Are you with me? And that is the sword. Now, where the Spirit comes in is that you can only receive that by the Spirit. Are you with me? Yeah? Just like the logos. Jesus is the living representation of the Logos. I also dare to say to you that the Holy Spirit is the living representation of the Rhema. Because he's the one that will bring you that specific word. Hallelujah. And that's why, open your Bible, two places to open and we finish. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 to 13. Let me just quickly deal with that. And then after that we'll go to 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Then we'll finish it there for today. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 first. Hebrews 4, 12. 12 and 13. I'm looking for two people who have not spoken today. So you, it was 4, 12 and 13.
I haven't spoken today.
Now you're speaking. It was 4, 12 and 13. No, no, I mean during the sermon.
For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Cutting between soul and spirit and between joint and marrow. Exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable.
Amen. A question is coming. Please listen carefully. One more person. Hebrews 4:12-13. Hebrews 4:12-13. Who has been quiet? Yes, this way. Yes, Hebrews 4:12-13.
New King James.
Yes.
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but in all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Amen. Question. That word of God being described in Hebrews 4:12, is it Logos or Rhema? Now tell me your answer and give me a reason. Don't Google, just try to answer it and with a reason. Be careful now. Is it Logos or Rhema? Give me your reason, why you think.
I think it's Rhema, because it says it's alive and powerful. Otherwise, it's just a written statement.
The written one is powerful. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's Logos.
It's alive.
But yes, it's alive and powerful.
It's alive.
Okay, but every word of God is alive. Yep, but I get the point. Yes, anybody want to give me another answer? Logos or Rhema and reason? Yes.
That, but I just want to say that the victory confession, it says, my Bible is the written word of God. The word of God is true, alive, and powerful.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. That was very good. Okay. Yes, more? So the written word of God is what? Is alive and powerful. Okay, yes. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God. Anything inspired by God is alive, isn't it? Yes. Is it Logos or Rhema and why?
I think it's both of them. Because the word of God is alive and powerful, and it comes alive to different people in different ways. But it's also generic and like a baseline for every single person, even unbelievers who are new to faith.
Okay, fine. Yes. The reason I actually think you give me to say is Rhema is in that verse, but you've not given it. But yes. By the way, I'm not saying you're correct.
I think it's Rhema.
Why?
Like, if he says about generic, anybody can actually quote the word, but they don't have that discernment. Mm-hmm. So I think with the discernment, it yes. makes it.
Fine. Another person. Now, remember, this question is based on the fact that that word of God in Greek has a specific something. In Greek, they must either write it as Logos or Rhema. So if you look at the Greek version, we will see what it is. But I'm just trying to make you guess before we look. Logos or Rhema, and why do you say which? Any last person? Last person before we go? Nobody has said it's Logos.
I was just about to say it's Logos because it's Logos because, like, in the sense that anyone can read it, it can apply to them, but it's not God saying to you, Mr. Jones, you need to not go here or you need to listen, you know.
Okay, thank you. I thought it was Rhema before ever checking. It's Logos, by the way. And the reason is that that scripture said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I saw in Ephesians 5:16 that the sword of the Spirit. So I thought, anything sword. Yeah? So that's the first of all. The word of God, whether it's Logos or Rhema, is a sword. Yeah? Yeah? The word of God is a sword. And it's also a shield. You see, don't be confused. The word of God can be many things in one. It's a shield, and it's also what? A sword. Yeah? But the reason why, in this version, you can check it up, in the Greek, it's Logos. For the Logos of God is alive. And what? And powerful. So you talk about scripture. Scripture, written word, is what? It has life in it. Yeah? You know, just said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have what? Eternal life. It has life. Hallelujah. This word now, as you're seeing it, yeah? Not the paper, you know, it's not like putting the Bible under your bed. That's not what we're talking about. If you read it and it enters your soul and your spirit, it can give life. Amen? So if you say the word of God has life, and it can give me life. I'm talking about the Logos. Amen. That general revelation of God can give you life. Amen. In fact, for most of your life, you'll be interacting with what? The Logos. Yeah? But that's not all. You also need to interact with the Rhema. You need both. Yeah? It is the difference, or it is the combination of the Word and the Spirit that makes you complete. If you go only for the Word without the Spirit, you are missing something. If you go only for the Spirit without the Word, you are what? You are missing something. You need both. Both the Logos and what? And the Rhema. So let me just quickly explain before we go to the last place we read. You see, this Logos of God is not the sword of the Spirit. It's a sword. Yeah, of Jesus, the Logos, walking inside you. This is not the one you fight the devil with. Yeah, it's for defense. It's not for attack. Amen. You can read it now. Read it again for me. Read it again for me. Let's just quickly clarify that. Hebrews 4:12-13. Somebody who has not read. Yes, Hebrews 4:12-13. Go for it. Hebrews 4:12-13. Just listen again. I will show you something there. And hopefully that will bless you. Hebrews 4:12-13.
The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit.
What is he piercing? Satan? Demons? What is he piercing? He's walking inside you. He's able to separate between what is from spiritual and what is from the soul. Yeah? Through the word of God, you can separate between what is emotional, what is mental, and what is spiritual. Sometimes in the church, we do emotional stuff. You know, like, you know, you light up the stage, you bring out some smoke, you know, like gas, you know, and the whole atmosphere is charged up. And someone feels, I'm in the spirit. No, you're not in the spirit. Yeah? It's an emotional thingy. Yeah? It's your emotion. People who don't know God can reproduce that in the clubhouse. Yeah? You know, have you ever been in the clubhouse, for those who have been, or maybe there's a gig, but name knows about that. And there's an atmosphere. And you feel like, it feels spiritual. Yeah? The emotion that can be so powerful that it can feel spiritual. Because it's just on the boundary, really. The emotion is very much on the boundary of the spiritual. Yeah? It's just, you can cross over. Amen? But the word of God helps you to separate and say, no, that is not spirit. That is soul. Amen? Someone may be coming and someone may come out here now and sing and they are crying. And you think, oh, the Holy Spirit has really touched them. That could be true. But it could also be that they love the song. And the song reminds them of an experience they had. Yeah? So the word of God helps us to separate between the spirit and the soul. Yeah? Between what is emotional and what is spiritual. Yeah? Sometimes people can whip up sentiments and it looks like it's the Holy Spirit speaking. But it's not the Holy Spirit, it's just them being sentimental. Yeah? The word of God will help you separate between soul and spirit. Continue first. Continue, then I come to you. Continue.
And of joints and marrow.
Yes. So the word of God helps you separate between spirit, soul, and body. It helps you to discern. It helps you to locate where the problem is. It's working in you to show you, yeah, what is right and what is wrong. Yeah? It's the word of God, that's the Logos, does an internal job to prepare you. Hallelujah. Yeah? To equip you, to refine you, to cleanse you, to renew you. That's the Logos. Hallelujah. And that's why that process is also your shield. Because when you are equipped, yeah, you are prepared against the attack of the devil in terms of blocking him. Say, no, no, no. I know where you're coming from. No, no, I can't see you. No. That's the Logos. Yes? A question? And then finally we'll go to the Rhema and finish there.
Does Satan actually use the word as a logo, or how does he use the word against people?
It just takes, it takes the word. You know that this scripture now is available to everybody, even the demons. So, can I tell you that some demons read the Bible? Can you believe that? Or do you think I'm saying rubbish? But their goal of reading it is to cause confusion. They are reading
so
it.
They have power.
You don't know, so that they can twist and deceive. When the devil reads the Bible, he's used, there's some Muslims, someone has told me about some Muslims who will read the Bible so that they can have a better argument with you. So that they can twist and confuse us. You know that some Muslims know the Bible better than you, unfortunately. Because they have decided that in order to confuse and, you know, counteract these Christians, I must read it. We've had testimonies of Muslims that were reading the Bible. They were told to read the Bible so that they would know how to counteract, and in the process they came to faith. Yeah? So the demons and devil, they read the Bible, but their goal is not to believe it. Their goal is to use it as a weapon against believers. Yeah? Because if you want to be a good deceiver, you see, one of the times when you're listening to a message and somebody's quoting the Bible, you begin to think they are spiritual, isn't it? And in that moment, they can sell you a lie. Yeah? I was watching somebody yesterday, he quoted this verse, but then he told a big lie. Right in the middle of the sandwich. It's covered with the nice two pieces of toast. Yeah? Toast, butter, cheese, but right inside, poison. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay. And so that's why the word of God was. So the rhema, can you now look at last place to read today? 2 Corinthians 13:14. Let's just do that and then we'll finish it there. 2 Corinthians 13:14. We open that, then I'll make some few statements, then we'll leave it there. Then next week, next month, because next week is joint service, I'll revisit it. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Yes, let's read it. This is popular. Let me ask Brother Nick, because he will like this one. 2 Corinthians 13:14. And you know why I say so. Okay. Yes?
For we are not writing...
No, 2 Corinthians 13:13.
Oh,
not 1 Corinthians, 2nd. I knew you were not there when I saw your body language. You didn't seem excited.
I thought that was...
2nd.
Yeah, I am on the same. Sorry.
2 Corinthians.
13. 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Do you like it? Yeah. You remember asking me for where it was?
Yeah,
that's it. Yes, let's have someone else read. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Yes, we are finishing with that verse, and I will break it down. Yes.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the love of God.
And the love of God.
And the communion of the Holy Spirit.
And the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Be with you all.
Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Remember I said that Jesus is the living Logos. And the Holy Spirit is the living what? Rhema. Hallelujah. Rhema. Yeah? Comes through the Spirit. When you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, yeah? When you commune with the Holy Spirit, you can get the specific word for the specific person, for the specific time, for the specific situation. You see that? 4 specifics. Yeah? And that word usually comes to you in your heart, in your conscience. It's a specific word. Yeah? You've been praying, you've been worshiping, and then God speaks. It could be 1 line, 2 lines, but it's very specific. And when you act on it, the devil has no solution. Every time you receive a specific word, and you act on it, you enter a breakthrough. Let me just say that again. Every time you hear God speak to you directly, yeah? And you act on it, it's a sword. The devil does not have any defense against the sword of what? Of the Spirit. He has no defense against it. Once you launch out based on the specific word of God that he has given you for a specific purpose at a specific time, it will produce results. It's a sword. It's not like you are laboring on it. Yeah? Sometimes you can labor on the logos. Yeah? In defending, holding the sheet of faith. It is written, it's written. You never attach your head. It is written, it's written. But when God has given you a rhema, yeah, and you launch out, it's done. It's done. It's a sword of the Spirit. It's a specific word for now. So how do you get the rhema? You will fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. See, another word to say that the rhema of God serves the logos of God. Can I say that? The Holy Spirit serves Jesus. Hello? Jesus is greater than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to represent him. He said he will not speak of himself. He will only tell you whatever has spoken to you. Just like Jesus came to represent the Father. The Father is greater than the Son. Are you with me? So also, the logos, please don't misunderstand me. You sometimes, I'll teach this. I know you, so you mean to meditate on it a bit to get it. The logos is greater than the rhema. The rhema is there to serve the logos. The rhema lives inside the logos. If I meditate on the logos and fellowship with the logos, that is if I meditate on the written word of God and fellowship with the word of God, over time, what comes out? Rhema. If I fellowship with the Father, now when you fellowship with the Father, we call that prayer. When you fellowship with the Word, we call it meditation. Yeah? In both cases, if I'm fellowship with the Father or with the Word of God, yeah? If I give some time for it, what comes out? Rhema. Hallelujah. So my fellowship with the Holy Spirit is still based on the Word and prayer. Hallelujah. As I allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me, yeah? Through the Word of God and through my time of prayer, it will give me the rhema. And I need the rhema if I'm going to enter breakthroughs. Hallelujah. If I'm going to have gigantic victories over Satan, I need to hear God. Hallelujah. I need what? To hear God. It is through the rhema I know I should be here, I should not be here. I should do this, I should not do this. I should change these tiny things. Sometimes, as it happened to you, you've been doing something for the same way for a long time, and then one day you wake up and say, why don't I do it? You just realize that you could do it a different way. Nobody taught you. He just opens up to you. And now you do it that way, and it produces better results. That's a rhema. That's a revelation. So, another thing about rhema is that it doesn't always have to be God speaking. It can be your eyes opening, and you can see it. Yeah? In your spirit, in a clearer way. That's rhema. Let's stop it there. Time is gone. So what I want to encourage you to do is this. Let's spend more time meditating on the Word of God. And talking, yeah, to the Father. And also having conversation with the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the fellowship. As I fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it will speak to me. Those specific what it tells me can make all the difference between success and failure. It can make all the difference between health and sickness. It can make all the difference between danger and safety. It can make all the difference even between life and death.